How many of you are going to Hajj, inshallah? Excellent. How many of you, this is his first Hajj? Excellent. Very good, alhamdulillah. Very good. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walahu ba'd. I just would like to mention a couple of points, then inshallah you can ask questions if you have. I'll start with hadith reported by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and his Musnad and Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, that he said, I was sitting with one of the Ansar, and two men came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when they approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet told them, would you like to tell me why you came here? Or should I wait until you ask your questions? Shkida surprised them. Then they said, sure, we would like to see. If you know what kind of questions that we have, we would love to see if you know what exactly we, what kind of question that we have. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, you have came to ask me about the ajr, the reward of the person that he would leave his house to go to perform Hajj. And you came here to ask me about the reward. It's a very long hadith. I'll just share whatever I can remember from it. Then he said, you came here to ask me about the reward that you will get when you stand in Arafah, and the reward that you will get when you shave your head, and the reward that you will get when you make the tawaf between As-Sa'i wal-Marwa and around the Kaaba. And he mentioned the word tawaf for both. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, wallahi, you have asked, you have told us exactly what we have in our mind. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the first part of hadith is reported in several narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as for you leaving your house, going to Mecca, فَإِنَّ نَاقَتَكَ لَا تَرْفَعُ قَدَمًا وَلَا تَضَعُ, your camel will not take any step towards Mecca unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive one of your sins, will give you one reward, and will raise your level in Jannah one level. So lucky you live in Toronto. Not in Riyadh, not in Egypt, not in London. You're getting more ajr than all these guys. Because how many steps this takes? How many miles from here or kilometers from here to Mecca? This is something great. Something you think of when you basically board your aircraft, thinking about that amount of ajr that you're going to get. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, also he said, you come to ask me about the hadi, when you sacrifice the animal, and you're asking me about al-jamarat. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as for standing in Arafah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be proudly asking the angels to look at you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proud of you, that you have left the whole world behind your back, and you have came to him subhanahu wa ta'ala to stand in this place, which is in that mount, in the middle of nowhere, just as a response to the call of his prophets and messengers. As for shaving your head, the Prophet ﷺ said, for each and every hair will fall off your head, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you one of your sins, one of your sins. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلِكُلِّ جَمْرَةٍ تَرْمِيهَا كَفَّارَةُ كَبِيرَةٌ, and for each, and this for جمرة العقبة الكبرى, for each stone, or for each time you throw the jamarat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive one of your major sins, one of your major sins. And the hadith continue that whenever you sacrifice your animal, you kill the hadi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ajr of this will be documented in a book that at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne before this blood reach the ground. And also the Prophet ﷺ said, and when you make your tawaf, you stand before al-Kaaba, and to make the tawaf, an angel will put his hand behind his back, and he said, you can start free of all sins. You can start your tawaf after you did Arafah and Jamrat al-Aqabah al-Kubra, and you shave your head, you're now about to do Tawaf, you're really free. You're really adding now more even to your account, and also your sin been forgiven. Shaykh al-Bani rahimahullah said this is an authentic hadith. It is important to remember the reward of Hajj. There's so many hadith talking about the great reward that you will receive from Hajj, and nothing like what is the most authentic hadith we have in this regard. And the most famous one, you will come back as if you are a newborn, free from all your sins. Free from your all sins. And most of the ulama said that even will include the major sins. هذا يشمل الكبائر. All يعني your major sin will be even forgiven. So I think that's very important for every Muslim when he or she goes to Mecca to remember the amount of reward that you will be gaining, and you try to save that, you try to save that. The second point I would like to mention that some Muslims misunderstand a hadith Aisha radiallahu anha, where the Prophet said, إِنَّمَا أَجْرُكِ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ نَصَبُ, that as much as you put effort and your Hajj will be hard and you put so much effort in it, as much as your reward will be high. What happens, some Muslims understand from this that I have to take the hardest way. So he will walk from Mina to Arafah instead of riding, taking a taxi or taking a bus. He will say, I will walk. And he will walk, for example, from his place in Arafah to the masjid if it's far away, or to the mountain. And what happened, by the time he reached there, he's so tired, and he maybe sleeps the rest of the day, or he will be so tired to concentrate in the dua. This hadith never meant, and I don't know if yani, this is a scholarly understand, I never come across anybody said that you intentionally do things in the hard way so your ajr will be high. No, the hadith is, if there is any calamity, any hardship happened to you during the Hajj, your ajr will be high. So this hadith, it should make you comfort if you're going to spend 50 hours in the airport. It doesn't mean, you know what, you make it intentionally to miss your flight, so you stay 50 hours, so you can have that's the wrong way. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made tawaf while he's riding his camel, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was riding his camel, was not walking, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So don't try to make the hard way. Don't make it, but also I agree 100%, don't try to make the shortcuts and find all these things that people do. Express Hajj, okay? No, that's not what, don't go to too extreme. But you're not supposed to think that, okay, you know what, I'm going to do it the hardest way, it means I'll get more ajr. Like somebody said, I'll make Hajj walking. Or this woman that she said in the Hajj, I made nadr that in Hajj I will never stay in the shade, I will never stay in any shade, and I will never ride anything. All my Hajj I will be walking, and in the whole entire time, in the daytime, I will not stay in the shade. I want to suffer. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا يَصْنَعُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِ هَذِهِ لِنَفْسِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not benefit from this woman making herself suffer like that, torturing herself. That's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what looking for, to make you torture yourself. Just try to benefit from whatever modern technology that you have today, which will going to make your Hajj easy. Alhamdulillah, if you have a place where it says AC, a place which is you can sleep comfortable, a comfort place to sleep, safe place to sleep, health-wise, all this will apply to under this rule. So you don't intentionally try to make your Hajj hard and thinking by this way you will get more reward. But always remember this hadith, if anything goes wrong, make sure that you always patient. And you always remember that the Hajj, the reward of Hajj will be based how much. If this has happened, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to double your reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want you to have more reward, so you be more patient with that. Make sure that you ask, and don't confuse yourself with too many muftis. If you have a sheikh that you trust in your hamla, make sure that you ask him or her, and alhamdulillah. Now, with one of the good things I think I give it as a credit for the Hajj minister. This phone line in Urdu, in English, in French, in so many, in Bengali, in so many languages. And it's 7 days, 24 hours. And they are all over the place, all over the place. So make sure that if you don't have somebody you can, with your hamla or happen to end up with the travel agency or mufti, you can easily go to one of these phones and pick up the phone and you can ask. And inshallah, make things based on ilm, nur, or huda. I will just open the floor for questions, inshallah, if anybody has a question related to Hajj. Yes. Doing Hajj, that's right. Okay. So he's asking if I'm going to make... going for Hajj, I assume you're going to make Hajj al-Tamattu, that's right. So basically you make Umrah for yourself first, then you're going to wait until the Hajj time comes. Can I make Umrah in between for somebody else, in between the time? First of all, don't shave your head when you make the Umrah, because if you shave, it's not going to grow in 4 or 5 or a week, the hair. You just cut your hair short. And if you do Umrah for another person, you just do outside the haram, to Adn al-Hil, which is, you can see Arafah, there is a sign that this is the end of, for example, of the haram area, outside the haram. If you take any taxi, well, they probably know. Or you can go to Masjid al-Tanheem. You don't need to go to Masjid al-Tanheem, but any place, like Al-Awali, all this area in Mecca, something even less crowded than Masjid al-Tanheem. So it will be a smart move for you, because it's going to be a very crowded place. All what you need to go out of the haram area. So you can put your ihram on inside of Mecca, and you take one of these taxis. You get out of the haram border, and you have the intention for Umrah, and you come back to do that. Is it the best thing to do? I wouldn't say that, because it is too crowded. And I want us to give chance for other people to do Umrah. Because if we open this door, everybody make Umrah and Umrah and Umrah, it will be too crowded, especially in a high season like this. But if your father, your mother never did Umrah before, why not? You can do it, inshallah, on their behalf. Because it is very far away. It's not easy for you to come in back. So the ulama said, al-afaqiyin, those who live far away from Mecca, they are allowed to do more than one Umrah in one trip. Wallahu a'lam. No, one Umrah for one person. Yeah. I wish it works this way. Sometimes. No, jazakallah. And when you do it, you shorten your hair. Yes. Tafadhal. While you are on Hajj? Yes, if it's good, dirty, or... Yes, absolutely. You can take shower. But you can take shower, no problem. You can brush your hair. You can fix your beard. The main thing, don't cut it, don't cut your nails, don't cut your hair until you finish your ihram, and don't use perfume. If you have your ihram on and you have the khalas, you start the hajj, you don't put perfumes. But you can use shampoo, even if this shampoo has a good smell in it, you still can use soap, even if this soap has good fragrance in it, it doesn't matter, because that's not a perfume. Yes. Deodorant, that's fine. As long as it's not hot, it's not a perfume, just to stop the smell. Yes. Yes. That's all right. I remember once I was making Hajj, and next to me, very short guy. On front of us, mashallah, Nigerian brothers. Mashallah, like, yani, Suddul Ufuq. You can't see it. And this brother, he's Yemeni brother, I would never get that. Man, every time he did the stones, it hit the guy's head and goes back to me. I was like, man, I saw the blood coming out of that guy. So that guy got so nervous, he went to him and he carried him like this. And he said, this is Shaitan, not me. He got so mad at him. So be very careful when you go. You don't need to go so close. With this, mashallah, expansion in Jamarat, it makes everybody's life easy. Just quick tricks. Okay, quick tricks when it goes to the Jamarat. Don't Don't go after Dhuhr in the 3 days. If you slept in Muzdalifah, you don't need to go immediately. Wait, ya akhi, until the night. You can go start with the tawaf. You can start. Yani, I know there is a different opinion, but I believe it's okay to go. Then you go back, especially if you have elder, if you have women, if you have people who can perform that. Okay? So, if this is the case, if this is the case, you don't need to do it specifically in that order, because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was ever was asked about in that day, ما سألوا أحد قدم وأخر إلا قال افعلوا لا حرج. Anybody will change the orders, okay? The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no problem, no harm, no harm, no harm. So you don't need to do that. It must be smart to go make the tawaf, and you do the sa'i. Then you come back to the jamarat. You don't need to do it in first. You can wait a little bit until the crowd goes down. As for the days of Mina, make sure that you don't go after Dhuhr. Wait until the night. Especially if you're staying 3 days, the whole 3 days, not making ta'ajjul. The last day is even much easier to do whatever you want. You can go. I always go in the night and I never had a problem. Me, my wife, my family, kids, there's no problem. You don't need to go immediately after Dhuhr. You can wait until the night and you do it in that night. You have the whole night until Fajr. You have the whole night until Fajr. But what if she cannot? Can she give you? Yes, you can. She can give you to do in her behalf, but you do the 7 for you first, then you do the 7 for her. طيب, what if I can do the Jumrat al-Aqaba al-Kubra, al-Wusta, al-Surah, and I do the 3? How can I do that? Can I do, there is a difference of opinion among the scholars. Some said, you have to do the 3 for yourself, then you go back, start over again. And that, a lot of scholars will go to that opinion. Then you go for her again, the 3. I believe there is no necessities for that. You can just do 7 for you, then 7 for her, 7 for your sister, whatever. But you're going to be carrying a lot of stones in this case. Absolutely. The sunnah is, it's qadr al-humusa, like the chickpeas. This is the sunnah. Throwing shoes, throwing umbrellas, stones, that's not, even saying we stoned the shaitan, this is a symbolic thing to remind us of what Ibrahim alayhi salam have done. So all this is not, I remember one brother went with the group from America, one of these sheikh, class kind of hajj, and he said, it was so funny, because they were putting antibacteria on the stones, so they will not get sick. So, I thought that's funny. Now, yes, tawadhu. No, you can't do that. No, you do it 1, 2, you go do it again. You did that already? You threw the 7, and you didn't know? Khalas. Whatever, you didn't know. Now, after you've done it, khalas. There's nothing wrong with it. Yani, it's not right, but we don't ask you to. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rafa an ummati al-jahla wal-khata'a wal-nisyan. Allah forgive anything done based on ignorance. But in future, you don't do that, inshallah. Yes, and you don't need to see it falling into the, inside that. Some people are very, subhanAllah, picky, I'm not sure. And he want to come so close to do it. No. You don't need to do it. غَلَبَتَ الظَّنِ يعني whatever you think it is enough. And with this modern way of putting the jamarat, nobody should be worried. Especially if you go from the second floor or third floor. How about spending the night in Muzdalifah? In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, some of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wife, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the permission to leave in the night before the crowd, because they are old, some of the elders, and in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have given permission that after the midnight, the elder among the Muhajireen or Ansar, those who perform Hajj with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the woman, they can leave after the midnight because they don't want to crowd the place. So if you are among the group, and this group decide to go, I will not advise you to leave them. I advise you to go with them. To go with them, and they are, يعني, because I have seen a lot of people who leave their groups, they got in trouble later on. And it became a big mess for them how to transfer, to go to Mecca, how to finish there. It became very hard for them. But if you are in a group, can you make that decision? You make it for the elder and for the woman. A lot of shiur today, and I totally support that, said the reason that the Prophet ﷺ have given, the reason, the illa, that in Nabi ﷺ, because of it, have given permission for the elder and for the woman to go early, apply to the young and strong men today. Which is, that's too crowded. It is so يعني, hard with this large number of people. Not only for the elder, for the young as well. And if you look at the people who die, the people who get in trouble, get injured, it's not only the older, even among the young themselves. So that's why يعني, a lot of muftis today is saying, if this is the case and the group decide, that's why I allowed you to go with them. The best is to stay in Muzdalifah, if you are a group to agree with that. But praying Isha and leaving, no. They have to stay aktharul layl. They have to stay most of the night. Most of the night in Muzdalifah. But what if the bus came late, enter Muzdalifah, like let's say 11. And if I stay most of the night, already gone. In this case, alhamdulillah, al-afu, yani al-asl fihi al-afu. That Allah yukallifu Allah nafsan illa wusaha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only asks you to do what you are capable of. So you stay, you collect the stone, the sunnah, and even if you don't collect it from them, you can collect the stone from anywhere. But you stay there, you pray Maghrib and Isha, then you leave afterwards. Yes. The Hanabila is very strict on this. The Hanabila is most strict madhab when it comes to Muzdalifah. They said it is wajib. They are very strict about that. No, you don't need to wait, because khalas, the rules goes to the wakil. He is responsible for that. You, by giving the money, it's sufficient. It's like al-adha, when you give the kibon for somebody to do it. Let's say their Eid one day before Pakistan, which has never happened. They have Eid before Canada, usually, because they are in the East. You have to stay and not to shave anything until the next day, no? The ulama said, khalas, you pray Eid, you are free to do whatever you want. So if you pay the kibon, that's sufficient for you. And as far as I know, that they do this very accurately, by the way. As far as I know, they care a lot about killing all these animals in the morning. Like, they start in the morning. They're doing a very good job. No, that's not true. It's not, you can wear any shoes, any sandals you want. The only thing you cannot wear, boot. Boot. You cannot wear boot, which is long, cover your ankle. No, you can cover your feet as much. The only thing you cannot cover it is your head. And by the way, one of the things I saw in Hajj, people put that mask. And they think this is going to prevent them from getting sick. Is any physician here? Correct me. They put this so nobody else can get sick. When you put that mask, it does not prevent any microbes going to you. Actually, they all go gather in this mask. It's mainly to prevent your breath, the doctors and nurses, so your breath will not go to others. That's what it's really made for. But anyway, if you have ihram, you cannot put it. Why? Because in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, naha an al-talathum. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, forbid al-litham. Al-litham is to cover your mouth and your nose. In the Hajj. So you can't put that while you are making ihram unless the doctor said you need to do that. Unless there is need or the doctor said that you should have that. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Abdi, my slave, 5 years have passed by and I have given you health and wealth and you have not came to see me, you have not came to perform Hajj, innaka la mahroom, you are such a loser. So from this, the ulama said that it is recommended to do it at least every 5 years. The Nabi ﷺ said, "تمتعوا بهذا البيت قبل أن يرفع، فإنه سيوشك أن يأتي عليه يوم يهدم فلا يبنى." He said, "Enjoy the existence of the Kaaba, because one day it will come and it will be destroyed and it will not be rebuilt again." The Nabi ﷺ said also, "تابعوا بين الحج والعمرة." do Hajj Umrah continuously. فإنهما ينفيان الذنوب والفقر كما ينفي الحديد كما تنفي النار خبث الحديد. That they will purify you from your sins exactly the same way the fire will purify the iron stick when you put it through it. So all these ahadith encourage people to perform Hajj from one time to another as much as you can, alhamdulillah. Sufyan ibn Umayna, made Hajj, he said, Hajj to 90 marra. He made Hajj 90 times. في كل عام كنت أسأل الله تعالى أسأل الله تعالى أقول اللهم في عرفة before I leave عرفة he said this is my دعاء سفيان يقول اللهم لا تجعل هذا آخر العهد بك oh Allah don't make it the last Hajj then he said in the 91 I felt shy to ask the same request again for all these years he never disappointed me so he said I didn't say it and he died subhanAllah in the Qi'dah the same year that the following year he didn't make it. SubhanAllah, rahimahullah ta'ala. One of the interesting things about Hajj, I found a very interesting reading in the biography of the scholars. They do things in Hajj, it just amazes me. Really, as Sheikh Muhammad put it today, they really plan. They really try to do things. Out of the box, I'll say it, this is a modern language. They do things so interesting. And I'll give you an example. One of them, like Hakim ibn Hizam, radiallahu anhu, he has slaves, okay? Before Hajj, he purchased slaves. So when you see that, in that time, when you purchase slaves, you have more power, more money. But he do it before Hajj, for two reasons. Because slaves before Hajj are very expensive, because people, it's like exactly in Saudi Arabia with the different, but same concept. There is a lot of use, there's a lot of demand for a slave in Hajj because you use them to work, to carry. So the price goes up. So he put so much money to purchase slaves. Okay. Then, when he goes in Arafah, before everybody leave, Hakim ibn Hizam used to say, Oh Allah, you are my witness. This all my slaves. And I free them for the sake of Allah. And Oh Allah, me and everybody here, we are your slaves. And you are the most generous. So free us today from the hellfire. This person is planning for what he is going to say. You see, he think about this. And that's what really made their Hajj is totally different story. What amazed me about Hajj, and I think I have a lecture about this Hajj Salaf al-Hajj, the Salaf ways of performing Hajj. I think it's online. I come across a lot of amazing ways of pleasing Allah Subhanahu wa Taala during Hajj, and it's just very interesting. It's just very interesting how they do that. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu will do something also similar to that. Ibn al-Mubarak, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. When it comes to Hajj, he cook for people and he prepared the food for them and he will take care of the group. And he's the great sheikh. He's the sheikh of the group. And he will, subhanAllah, even tell people, you go now after you perform Hajj, he said, and when they go to Medina, which is very similar to these days. Usually we buy gift from Medina, not from Mecca. SubhanAllah, even in the old days, he said, when they go to Medina, they tell them, now you go buy the gift for your kids and everything. And he gives them money to do that. Then after they get the gift for the kids and everything, when they go back, he said, okay, now let's see how much left from whatever money you have given. You pay me $4,000 for the Hajj, I'll deduct all the money that you have purchased, all the stuff with it, and I give you how much left of it. فَيُعْطِيهِمْ سُرَرَهُمْ كَمَاهِ He will give them their money exactly the same way that they give it to him. He will not take a penny. Those people try their best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what I have seen some of my shuyukh, scholars. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, one year in Muzdalifah, I saw him, we were doing Hajj together, I saw him in Muzdalifah holding the food and distributing the food to everybody around the tent. He walking out and he giving them the food, the date, the distributing it. You try to, I don't want to use the lack for a better word, Show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's put it this way. Show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best of you in Hajj. Surprise your shaitan. Really surprise that you're going to come up with something, even the shaitan never thought you're going to do it. So he never thought about preventing you from it. Just surprise him with things like that. And as much as you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will accept from you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for all of us. They decide to leave, you just leave with them, inshallah. Nothing harm, no harm for you. No harm for you. To take what? No. But the sunnah is to be clean, to clean yourself, to remove the hair, like underarm, and the hair which can make bad smells, and you can use that. يعني, to put perfume in your body, not on your ihram, and you start, and you put oil. That's one thing. If you have a long hair, put like certain oil in your head. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يلبد شعره. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم used to put dahin, like an oil, in his head. So because it's several days, your hair will not be messy and going left and right until you shave it. وكان يلبد شعره. يعني also he make mark if you have your nobody. I did once Hajj, bringing my sheep with me to Mecca. So it was fun how to do that. We put it in the car, like in the van in the back. Just try to do it like the Prophet one year. It's, if you do that, it's sunnah to put mark on it, like to put a mark on it from the beginning. Anyway, it's just that nobody does this anyway. Allahumma salli ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Yeah, and one of the common questions people say also about this for the sisters, I don't know how they ask the questions, if she gets her menses, what she can do. I think one of the great fatwa of make so much sense today, especially the fatwa of Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, which is nobody ever said it before him, when he said that the woman, if she got her menses, and she cannot make tawaf al-wada. She cannot make tawaf, or she didn't make even tawaf al-ifada. She delayed it. And what she can do? Can she wait? She cannot wait. She have a ticket. She has to travel. In this case, Shaykh Islam, rahimullah, in this case, she clean herself, and she just go make the tawaf, even while she have her menses. Even while she have her menses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا أُسْعَهَا. يعني everybody does what he is capable of. Just one task for not to be misunderstood. What Shaykh Muhammad said early is absolutely correct about that in Arafah, the sunnah of the Prophet is to go from Dhuhr until Maghrib, to go until Maghrib. But what if you did not enter Arafah until Isha? And this has happened several years back. There were jam traffic. People enter Arafah. Isha came or Maghrib came, became late in the night, and they didn't enter Arafah yet. A lot of people, what they did, they said our Hajj is not valid, and they went back to Jeddah. And that's absolutely not correct. By the consensus of Muslim scholars, that if you walk into Arafah after Maghrib until Fajr, your Hajj is valid. As the by consensus, ijma' ahlul ilm, that if you come, you, for some reason you arrive late, and you enter in Isha, enter 1 o'clock, enter 12 o'clock, for some reason prevented you from entering, and you have happened to you, and you enter, your Hajj is valid. Your Hajj is valid until Fajr. I'm assuming a scenario where you're stuck in traffic, you can't come. So you don't need to say, okay, I have to repeat my Hajj. That's not what I think was meant. It's meant as the right thing is to basically to go there before, after the Duha, you travel to Arafah, you stay there until Maghrib, and after Maghrib to go. But to go intentionally after Isha, or after everybody leaves, you lose the best ajr, which is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will proudly mention you and tell the angels, I have forgiven all of them. You lose this if you do that intentionally. Yes, it's valid, but you lose the core thing of the ajr part of it. But if it's out of your hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will not يعني let you put you down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you if it's not your in your hand this delay. But don't think your Hajj is not valid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Jazakum Allah khair. And I think there's a good book. Sorry, there's a good book written by Dr. Mamdouh. It's called Hajj and Umrah from A to Z. I know there's a lot of books, but what I like about this book, it's very simple, straightforward, 1, 2, 3. And there's a lot of pictures in it. There's a lot of video also. It shows you virtual Hajj. I think this is very interesting to look at. Jazakumullah khair.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh Muhammad and Sheikh Walid. We really appreciate having you here. Assalamu alaikum.